السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. إن الحمد لله وحده، والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعده، أما بعد، قال الله تبارك وتعالى في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد: يا أيها الذين آمنوا كتب عليكم الصيام كما كتب على الذين من قبلكم لعلكم تتقون. وقال تبارك وتعالى: شهر رمضان الذي أنزل فيه القرآن هدى للناس وبينات من الهدى والفرقان فمن شهد منكم الشهر فليصم. وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: قد أضلكم شهر عظيم مبارك، شهر فيه ليلة خير من ألف شهر، إلى آخر الحديث. وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: رب صائم ليس له من صيامه إلا الجوع، ورب قائم ليس له من قيامه إلا السهر، أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والتسليم. صدق الله العظيم وصدق رسوله والنبي الكريم، ونحن على ذلك لمن الشاهدين والشاكرين، والحمد لله رب العالمين. My most beloved ulama ikram, elders and brothers and all those that are listening over the receivers, all praise is due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who is our creator, our nourisher, sustainer and provider. Peace and salutations be upon our beloved master, Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We are in the ending of the month of Sha'ban, today actually being the 24th of Sha'ban, leaving us with about 5 or 6 days for the month of Sha'ban, and then the very, very significant and important month of Ramadan is here on our doorstep. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was once in the masjid. The narrator is Ka'b ibn Ujra radiallahu anhu. He says that we saw Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam climb up the minbar, like we see a minbar in front of the masjid. So he climbed up the first step and he said Ameen. And then he climbed up the second step and then he said Ameen. And then he climbed up the third step and then he said Ameen. So when he came down from the minbar, the Sahaba ikram radiallahu anhum ajma'in, they observed every aspect in the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That is a very special, unique feature in the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Private life, public life, every aspect of it, they scrutinized, they took note of it, and they narrated it, and then they transmitted it to some of their students, up till this day. We are now as though picturing what transpired in the life of Rasulullah, every aspect, so it becomes a lesson for us. The words that he spoke, the actions that he carried out, everything they observed so like diligently, so carefully, and they narrated it. That is something very special and unique. I don't think there's any human being that on the surface of the earth whose life has been so diligently, so carefully compiled and preserved right till now. 1400 years later, we can still look in the Sahaba, used to look at Rasulullah, for example, in Shama'il, look at Rasulullah, how many strands of white hair he had on his head, how did he walk, what did he bend forward or standing up, and description of every aspect of his physical body is in that Shama'il. So like that now, his character, how did he speak, how did he behave with his wives, how did he conduct himself, how did he make his ruku and sajda, every aspect of his life. Business, how did he conduct business, is properly documented for us to take lessons from them. So he climbed up the minbar, so they said to him, hey, every day we noticed you climb up the minbar and come down, he doesn't say Ameen. But today we noticed when you went up the minbar, first step, second step, third step, at each of that you said Ameen. How come? Imagine to that aspect also they questioned Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, why is there, what difference is there today? So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that on the first step, when I went, then Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam made the dua. He said, Bauda man adraka Ramadan falam yukhfar lah, something to this effect. That woe or destruction on that individual who witnesses, experienced the month of Ramadan, and despite that did not earn the forgiveness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he said, when that dua was made by Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasalam said Ameen. the dua of the greatest angel of all the malaika, the greatest Jibreel salatu wasalam. He is making this dua. And the Ameen of the greatest creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said Ameen to who? That person who experiences, witnesses, he is present in the month of Ramadan, and he never strive and work hard to earn the forgiveness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that person has indeed got a great loss, has experienced a great loss. And then the second step, he said something else, not relevant to my discussion right now, but just to suffice the point, what he said was that woe and destruction, ba'uda, that person who my name is taken in his presence, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's name, فَلَمْ يُسَلِّ عَلَيْهِ, and he never sent durood upon me. And Rasulullah sallam said, on that dua also he said, Ameen. And on the third step was destruction. Woe to that individual who gets either one of his parents or both of his parents in old age, and he never served them, and never respect them, and because of not serving them, he never earned the forgiveness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and never earned the dua of his parents. And to that dua, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Ameen. So coming back to the point was, this month of Ramadan is here on our doorstep. It is the month to earn the forgiveness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So and the last, as the month of Shaban comes to an end, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam addressed the Sahaba. The narrator of the hadith, Salman al-Farsi radiallahu anhu. It's a famous hadith, but if each one, and a lengthy, it's a famous and lengthy hadith, perhaps also we should try and read Fazail Ramadan. Hazrat Shaykh Rahimahullah Ta'ala has compiled Fazail Amal, a book that got the virtues of actions, virtues of Salah, virtues of Zikr, virtues of Salah, Tilawat of Quran. So in one chapter is Fazail Ramadan, the virtues of Ramadan. Available English, a very widely read book, but in our homes, we should have started already. If we haven't, then inshallah from today, we should start reading about the virtues of Ramadan to inspire us, to motivate us, and to remind us about this very significant and important event that is on our doorstep. So he also mentioned this hadith there, and Salman al-Farsi radiallahu anhu says, Khatabana Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Rasulullah addressed us towards the ending of Sha'ban, perhaps around this time, the last Jummah of Ramadan, or towards the last night of Ramadan, Sha'ban, towards the end. So very apt, very relevant. So Rasulullah addressed the Sahaba, and he said to them, قَدْ أَضَلَّكُمْ شَهْرٌ عَظِيمٌ. A very, very great month. The word he uses, عَظِيمٌ. Very important, very great month is here on our doorstep. It's any time now. And then he described the month as مُبَارَكٌ. It is a month of barakah. It is azim, very great and important. Number two, it is a month of barakah, mubarakun. And then he says, shahrun fihi laylatun khayrun min alfi shahr. That in this month, there is a night which is better than 1,000 months. Laylatul Qadr. Inshallah, as the month of Ramadan commences and we come closer to that part, then the ulama will go into a discussion. But suffice for us that we need to prepare and be ready for this month, because in this month is this night which is known as night of Qadr, the Laylatul Qadr, which is better than 1,000 months, which is more than 80 years of ibadah. And then he goes on saying, shahrun ja'ala Allahu siyamahu faridatan, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made fasting in this particular month compulsory. The five pillars of our deen, you know, is Iman, Shahada, Allah, ilaha illallah, wa anna Muhammadur Rasulullah, is to bring Iman and believe in Allah and the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That's the most important pillar, starting point. Then it's Salah, it is performance of our prayers, and then fasting in the month of Ramadan, fulfillment of Zakat and Hajj. So fasting in the month of Ramadan is a pillar of our deen. From the five pillars, it is a pillar of deen, and it is important, it is fard, it is compulsory. Like we get the different commands of our deen, some aspects are compulsory, you have to do it. Some are sunnah and nawafil, ulama have categorized like optional actions. But fasting in the month of Ramadan is compulsory. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in the Quran, Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu, kutiba alaykum as-siyam, that O you who believe, fasting has been prescribed upon you. It is compulsory, ordained. كما كتب على الذين من قبلكم, like how it has been prescribed upon those that came before you. That means the nations of the past also used to fast. So therefore we are also fasting, but perhaps their way of fasting was different. Important thing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has continued with that aspect and that act of ibadah for this ummah as well. But he rounds up this ayah of the Quran by reminding us on the objective. Very, very important to remind ourselves and ask ourselves the question, why am I fasting? What is the purpose and the objective of this fast? What am I going to achieve through this fasting? What am I supposed to be getting out of this fast? 30 days, 29 or 30 days from early in the morning, from before sun, even before the sun rises, well before that, from sehri time, I'm going to wake up early in the morning, have my sehri, and the entire day, whole day, whether it's hot, whether it's cold, whether it's raining, whether I'm at work, I'm going to stay away from eating and drinking and relationships with my wife right till sunset. For 29 days doing this, what am I expected to achieve? What is the objective? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala uses one word, and that word is used for many other aspects in the Quran as well. In fact, when you open the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala starts off by mentioning Surah Baqarah, Alif Lam Mim, ذَلِكَ الْكِتَابُ لَا رَيْبَ فِي هُدَلِّ الْمُتَّقِينَ, that the Quran is a guide for those that have taqwa. And then when it comes to Hajj, Allah says, وَتَزَوَّدُوا, when you go for Hajj, you must take provisions. And then He says, فَإِنَّ خَيْرَ زَادْ التَّقْوَى, the best provision you can take even when you're going for Hajj is this taqwa. Now when you're coming to this fast in the month of Ramadan, Allah is using the same word to get this taqwa. Now what is this taqwa all about? We fasting, important to have the purpose and the objective and the reason for fasting is to get this taqwa in our lives. We stay away from food and drink. It's an exercise that we're going through to achieve this. It's really going to be maybe for lack of use of better words, is maybe perhaps we can say is like an exercise in futility. If you're not going to achieve the objective, we did something, we never achieved the objective. You went somewhere, you went to get something, I'm just giving an example, to buy something from the shop, but you went into the shop and you came and went back home without the item. It's like you went, you wasted your petrol and came back. You're supposed to go and get something and come back, came back empty handed. So for 29 days we are staying away from food and drink and all of those things. We need to get something. If you're not going to get it, you'll be absolved of the obligation. But the whole purpose and what you're supposed to be getting, it's like defeating the purpose of the action. So this taqwa is crucial. And keep reminding ourselves every single day, am I working to get this objective of fasting, this taqwa? So what is this taqwa all about? We're hearing it all the time. It is the consciousness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Sometimes the people translate it as the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But maybe a better word to use is the consciousness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to carry out any action 24 hours of the day, wherever we are, public life, private life, whether we are at work, whether in the masjid, all the time, the consciousness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah is watching me. Allah knows what does Allah expect and want me to do at this time. And now you need to do an action, we need to sign a document. What is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanting from me? That is, we are staying away from food which is normally halal. We are staying away from drink which is normally halal. We are staying away from your family or your wife which is normally halal. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving us exercise that you stay away from halal. But now what's the point that you're staying away from that which is normally halal? That became haram. That which is always haram, you're still continuing with that, you're not going to achieve the objective of fasting. Rubba sa'imin. Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, many people are going to fast. They are sa'im. You are fasting. Laysa lahu min siyamihi illa al-ju'. The only thing you're going to get out of that fast is you stayed hungry. Ju', hungry. Arabic for hunger is jaw'an. A person is hungry, say jaw'an. Person is hungry, is jaw'an. So, you only got through your fast, hunger. You only achieved hunger. You just stayed away from food. You never achieve it. So how are we going to get this taqwa in fasting? Is to train our minds and our lives, ourselves, that I'm fasting. I'm not going to eat, I'm not going to drink. But very, very, very important. Hazrat Shaykh Rahimullah also mentioned a hadith. He says, As-siyamu junnatun. He says, this fasting is like is a shield. But he says, ma lam yahruqha. As long as you do not tear it. As long as you do not interfere, you don't leave holes in it. So this fasting, you're going to get this purpose of taqwa as long as you don't do certain things, as long as you control yourself. So you're controlling yourself from eating and drinking, but you also need to control yourself. So he mentions five or six things you must be very, very careful of. That's why the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he says, مَنْ لَمْ يَدَعَ قَوْلَ الزُّورِ وَالْعَمَلَ بِهِ فَلَيْسَ لِلَّهِ حَاجَةٌ أَنْ يَدَعْ صِيَامَهُ وَطَعَامَهُ وَشَرَابَهُ. That person who does not leave out speaking lies and falsehood, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has no need of him leaving out his food and drink. So Hazrat Shaykh Rahimahullah says that this fasting is a shield. It will protect you. You will get the objective of fasting with your taqwa. But he says as on condition that you must make sure you protect your eyes. You protect your eyes from looking at haram. He says you protect your ears from listening to haram. It's fasting, so remind ourselves, not just staying away from food, staying away from sin is perhaps more important, if not equally important. Stay, he says, protect your mouth from saying wrong things, from swearing, from vulgarity, speaking lies, carrying tales, and the list goes on. And then he says, protecting your stomach and your belly from consuming haram and allowing any wrong things to go into your stomach, protecting your entire body, all your body parts, your legs from walking towards haram, your hands from doing and touching anything haram. So five things he said, your eyes, your ears, your mouth, your stomach, your belly, your entire body. And then he says also that it's a shield, as long as also whatever you're doing in your heart, you remember that you're doing it solely and only for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So these are important aspects with regards to our fast. So the hadith then carries on with the hadith. I started off with Salman Farsi radiallahu anhu. He then says that after talking about it being an important month, Shahrun Azeemun, then he said it is a blessed month. And then he says it's a month in which there is a night better than 1,000 nights. And then he says Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made compulsory the fasting. So just on that point also, we have to make sure we have to fast. فَمَنْ شَهِدَ مِنْكُمُ الشَّهْرَ فَلْيَصُمْ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that when this month comes, you should fast. But the sad reality is, many of the people in our neighborhood and locality are not fasting, and they may be not going to be fasting. Now we are concerned, we're going to be fasting. Take a little bit of initiative, and inshallah remind our neighbors, our family. We cannot assume, take things for granted nowadays. It's Ramadan, encourage people. Like how it's Salah, the masjids, mashallah, are full now, Jummah. But many of our people and our people of our community are not performing the rest of the Salah. They just don't perform Salah. It's a major sin. It's a sad situation we find ourselves in. Very similar is the month of Ramadan. It's a reality. We might not, because we are not working on the field, we're not going to meet people. But it's a reality of the society and environment we're living in. There are many people who are not fasting in the month of Ramadan. Take it as a duty and responsibility. At least you will talk to people and encourage them. Give them da'wah towards fasting. It's Ramadan. We have to fast. So then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Rasulullah continues saying that after saying that there is, it's a fard, it's to fast in the day, he says, شَهْرٌ جَعَلَ اللَّهُ قِيَامَ لَيْلَتِهِ تَطَوَّعًا. That in the night of Ramadan, the whole year, there's no Taraweeh Salah. In Ramadan, starting either next week, Wednesday night, or next week, Thursday, depending on when the moon is sighted, either Wednesday or Thursday night, Taraweeh will commence. And mashallah, we have, make shukr to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the amount of venues where Taraweeh Salah will be performed. Over and above that, make shukr to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that we still have 20 rakats of Taraweeh Salah that is taking place in so many venues, many other parts of the world. They have discounted it. They have dropped it from 20 to 8. We don't want to go into all those discussions. We need to try and get more Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam goes on explaining. He says that, that person who will perform one fard in the month of Ramadan, it is equivalent to 70 faraid out of the month of Ramadan. Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that the person who will do one nafil or sunnah act in the month of Ramadan, it is equivalent to a fard out of the month of Ramadan. So now we don't want to go into a debate and a scholarly discussion about 20 and 8 zakats. All of us sitting here, opportunities are here. If somebody comes and says, right, I'm going to give you, I'm just trying to give you a logical convincing that we don't have to go into a scholarly debate, but arguments and all that academic discussions in this place. Somebody comes and says, right, you want 8 rand or 20 rand? Okay, 8,000 rand or 20,000 rand? 8 million or 20 million? Every person sitting here, for dunya thing, they're ready. 20 million, why must I take the 8 million? For nothing you're giving me, I'll take the extra. So in Ramadan, as I said, leave the scholarly academic discussion. It is a month for us to do more ibadah. So all of us make an intention, inshallah, we'll perform all 20 rakats for the entire month of Ramadan. So these two sunnahs the ulama explained. One is the sunnah of the Taraweeh Salah being 20 rakats. That's from day one, or night one, till the moon of Eid is sighted the night before. All in 20 rakats the entire month of Ramadan. That is one sunnah. But over and above that is also sunnah to make a khatam of Quran in the month of Ramadan. Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam used to come and recite Quran to Rasulullah sallam. Some say Rasulullah used to recite to Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam. So that is one. Some places maybe we're going and we're finishing after 10 or 15 nights. Then that's if you are strong to do that, mashallah. But it doesn't mean now for the rest of the month of Ramadan you got chutti. The sunnah of the 20 rakats will still continue right till the end of the month of Ramadan. We find the masjid will be full. It's year in and year out story. Day 1, 2, 3, mashallah, the masjids are full. As we go towards now, middle of the first 10 days, and we go to the second 10 days, we see the masjids now starts flattening out, the crowd is thinning out, and then as we go towards the ending now, then it gets tough. There's no excuse. It's a month for us to excel. All the entire month of Ramadan, all 20 rakats, we will try and make sure you perform. Great reward in it. So that's there. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam then goes on explaining. We have a shortage of time. The beautiful hadith of Salman Farsi radiallahu anhu. We can read it, as I said, in Fawail Ramadan. He then goes on encouraging. He says, "Shahru sabr. It is a month of patience. Wa thawabuhu al jannah. And the reward of this patience is jannah. Hungry man is an angry man." So now in the month of Ramadan, people will maybe test their patience more. So remember the hadith, the month of patience. Month of patience. Somebody comes and argues with you, the hadith says, "Kullahu inni saim." You say, "I'm fasting today." So now just turn away and go away and continue with your work, whatever you're doing. Then he says, it is a month, yuzadu fihi rizqul mu'min, that the sustenance of a believer is increased. And then he talks about, the Prophet ﷺ encourages us to give a fasting person something to make his iftar with. So the Sahaba asked Rasulullah SAW, each one of us don't have, maybe in our context because we go overboard, we can also relate to it. Now every day you're going to feed so much. Prophet then said, even if you give little bit of dates or water to drink or a sip of milk or some small something to for a person to break his fast with. So he mentions three benefits of this. Number one, imaghfiratun lidhunubi. If I give somebody else to break their fast, it's a way of getting my sins forgiven. Number two, itqu raqabatihi min an-nar. Number two, it will inshallah be a means of getting your freedom from the fire of Jahannam. And number three, you will get the same reward as that person that fasted without his reward being diminished. It's not like, okay, he fasted, his reward came to you, he's getting no reward. He fasted, the person who you gave your khajur or your zamzam or milk to drink, he broke his fast, he got his reward. The treasures of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is so immense that together with his getting a reward, you will also get a reward. Shahrul Muwasat, it is a month of leniency, consideration. So consider yourself, you got work to do, do it before Ramadan, postpone it after Ramadan as far as possible. You got people working for you. And says that person who enlightened the burden of those people who are working for you in Ramadan, Allah will lighten your burden also. And when you make it easy for them, your workers, employees, then it's going to be whatever good actions they're going to be doing, you're going to get the ajr for it. And then the hadith goes on talking about khaslatan. You must continue doing four things in the month of Ramadan. Prophet ﷺ said, recite abundantly, La ilaha illallah, La ilaha illallah abundantly is an easy form of zikr. Musa alayhi salam asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, please show me an easy zikr to make. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said to him, he said, La ilaha illallah. He said, no, everybody says La ilaha illallah. I want something more, like maybe sophisticated. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said to him that if this La ilaha illallah was placed on one side of the scale, and the entire world and whatever it is was placed on the other side of the scale, this La ilaha will outweigh it. So the Prophet ﷺ encouraged us to make this dhikr abundantly in the month of Ramadan. La ilaha illallah, easy on the tongue. And then he says, Astaghfirullah, continuously all the time, istighfar, asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for forgiveness, lots of benefit for that, and then asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for Jannah, and seeking protection from the fire of Jahannam. These are four dhikrs. La ilaha illallah, Astaghfirullah, As'aluka al-Jannah, asking Allah for Jannah, A'udhu billahi minan nar, asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to protect us from the fire of Jahannam. So with these few words, the month of Ramadan is here. The crux of my whole discussion was the hadith of Salman Farsi radiallahu anhu, where Rasulullah s.a.w. addressed the Sahaba, telling them that a very important month is on the doorstep, and then he tell them about the month, a very important month, a blessed month, fasting in this month being compulsory, the Taraweeh Salah, the Laylatul Qadr, the importance of helping and sharing is a month of generosity, it is the month of being kind to people, and making dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at the time of Sehri. We all gonna wake up for Sehri here. But Sehri is not just about eating. Sehri time is an important time of dua. So make an intention, I'll wake up 10 minutes, 5 minutes earlier, so that I can make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and perform this tahajjud. Iftar time is not just about looking at the halim, and the samosas, and the pies. Iftar time is the time when the duas are accepted. So this month, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it the best Ramadan of our lives. Some of us sitting here, we have 40 Ramadan, we have seen 50 Ramadan, 60 Ramadan. Every time make an intention that this Ramadan will be better than the previous Ramadan. May Allah accept all our ibadah, make it the best Ramadan of our lives. And most importantly, as I spend some time on, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it such that the fast that we keep, we get the objective of fasting, and that is taqwa in our lives. Wa akhiru da'wana, alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.